without any further ado, let's get straight to it, I'd say. Ring of Honor presents Honor Reigns Supreme. So, first up, the video was on the commentators, Ian Riccoboni and Caprice Coleman. That didn't last for long, as NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, Tom Latimer, and Camille decided to arrive during the show's open. Aldis said he's the real world champion, and since Mighty Skrull invaded his house, he returned the favor last night. So I'm not sure what he's doing here tonight, but okay. Villain Enterprises now pay for Mighty sins, expose him as a fraud. Villain Enterprises arrive and they have a pull apart, which, you know, brings the NWA ROH feud simmering along nicely. Really good idea on everyone's part, because, and if this can be as good as the ROH CZW feud from 2005-06, then let it continue. Okay, so the first match was one-third of the new ROH six-man tag team champions, Rey Harus, as part of Mexa Squad. He's joined with Flamita and Bandido, who have gone from Mexa Blood to Mexa Squad, so that's quite cool. Versus North Carolina's own Andrew Everett. And yeah, this was once again a really smartly worked match. You know, everyone got an opportunity to look really good. And the match itself, when we thought Rey Harus might go 0-2 on this weekend, it actually was Andrew Everett that went 0-2 on this weekend, including losing in his home state, which is never a good idea, but it's understandable when you've got a new champion. Harus hits a wheelbarrow driver for the win, and a good opening match, which is just a little bit not fresh on my brain because I've watched 3 ROH shows in so many days. So I'm going to throw this one to you, Stephen. What did you make of this?
I thought it was great. I think Andrew Everett again looked phenomenal in the ring. He did that awesome moonsault to the outside, that Acai moonsault, which looked brilliant. Rey Harus is really picking up steam. He's really... picking up his momentum and his confidence, you can tell, and he's doing a lot of...
The title win is really going to help him, I think.
Absolutely. I think that's really going to help his confidence and his status in how he feels in the company, I think. And it shows that they're putting a lot of stock into him as well as a wrestler, which is really good as well.
Yeah.
And that I love that wheelbarrow driver. I think that's such a great move, and I know it's got a lot of danger elements to it due to the way it's actually, delivered. But when it is done safely, as it was, it's such a brilliant finish to a match. So I thought it was a great opener again. And I think Andrew Everett had 2 really strong performances. And I'd hope that he does get to come back to Ring of Honor, hopefully regularly, because I think he really adds to the product. I think he's great.
Just needs that win, doesn't he, next time he comes to Ring of Honor. So next up was, one of our favourites, Brian Johnson, especially on the microphone, comes out and he bitches and moans about not being booked, which brings out his kind of mentor, maybe not, PJ Black. Basically, you kind of see the personality of Dalton Castle and stuff in this kind of situation. He said there's plenty of beef in the ring and calls him a silly goose. And then he asks what Jay Briscoe thinks, and Jay Briscoe says that, he needs an ass whooping and we'll have a triple threat tag, because the last night's triple threat tag went so well that we'll have another one. So this was the prestigious one, Joe Hendry, the Party Peacock. See, I'm always going to remember that, Dalton Castle. the Briscoes, Mark and Jay, PJ Black and Brian Johnson. Yeah, once again, PJ Black and especially Brian Johnson got a really good opportunity here to get some minutes in the ring. In the end, it doesn't go down well for him. But, you know, Joe Hendry and Dalton Castle get the win, which we speculated they wouldn't because they were heading towards fighting each other at the anniversary show. This win might paper over the cracks. What did you make of it, Stephen?
I thought it was a really fun little, and again, little three-way tag. And I think that Brian Johnson, especially on the mic before the match, as you just mentioned, was great. And I think the interaction between him and Dalton Castle was brilliant. And Dalton Castle, I'm a huge fan of, you know, I'm a huge fan of his. I think he looked great, and it was great as well seeing the Briscoes in a more comedic setting, you know, a more entertaining setting for me, because they're so versatile. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great little fun tag match.
Next up was Sumi Sakai versus Nicole Savoy, part two. And once again, this is a really, really fun and enjoyable women's match. I thought Sumi Sakai was brilliant, considering she just turned heel. It's like she's been doing it for years, especially when she was pulling Savoy's hair and she was like, I'm pulling it with one hand, and the referees, you know, Sinclair was counting her, and then she let go to pull with the other hand, and I thought it was just really smart.
It was.
Cheating tactics. But yeah, it's like she's been doing it for years. I thought she really, she's really grown into this. And I guess maybe she's wanted to do this for years. Mm. You know, attacking before the bell, which was fantastic. The hair thing that I've just spoken about. And, you know, in the end, she gets the chain. She kicks the rope, and Todd Sinclair goes down. Low blow kind of thing, gets the chain. Now Savoy hits the Smash Mouse, which I was sure that's what it was called.
Yeah,
it was. And for the win, and we've got Nicole Savoy won, Sumi Sakai won, and I'm sure when you get an opportunity to speak on this, Stephen, we wouldn't mind a part three, would we?
Oh, this was great. I mean, Sumi Sakai just reminded me, especially with the with the hair pulling, as you were saying, it just reminded me perfectly of Brian Danielson's "I Have Till Five." His interaction with the referee, I just loved it. And I thought the armbar what she had on the on Savoy, which then led down onto the apron. I thought that was great as well. It was just such a vast change of character. It was just so well done, and She's one of these people, Sumi, where for a while I've not been very high on her, but I think if she'd been allowed to work as a heel for a lot longer, she would have. She seems like a completely different wrestler, and that she's, you know, in her comfort zone, if anything, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will say as well that I don't know if you noticed, but her one of the other little subtle things I liked is that her actual ring gear, Sumi Sakai's ring gear, has slightly changed, which I thought was another really good touch. That it's like a complete transformation.
The thing that I liked after the match is when she tried to steal somebody's like unicorn thing.
Yeah.
The little kid's unicorn thing, and then like the dad steals it back.
Yeah.
And she's like stamped. No, it's like she's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
It was an amazing performance by Sumi Sakai. Whereas for the first match it was like understated and about respect, this one wasn't, and it was probably a step up from that, even though technically the first match was probably better.
Yeah.
But the lack of respect and the defined face and heel characters definitely added to this match and made it better.
Absolutely.
Next up, we had Dak Draper, the Mahi Magnum, against Danhausen Reigns Supreme. Because he kind of does. I'm so sold on this guy. I think he's amazing. And like the fans and stuff, like this was the issue with this, though. You could tell the attendance figures were down, especially in bleachers and stuff, which was a shame, because Atlanta brought it in terms of fan support, whereas Concord, North Carolina, it was a bit difficult. But they did get behind the matches and the wrestlers and stuff. It's just the attendance wasn't quite where it needed to be. But yeah, the fans loved Danhausen. And like one of my kind of highlights of the match was, I'm sure he said, come to Danhausen, you big tall idiot. And then like pulls down the ropes and he went over the top, and I was like, oh, I'm so sold on this guy. I don't get the jar of teeth thing, but from him being on commentary the night before and Caprice Coleman just saying into the camera, help me, to his entrance, to his fan support being there, and obviously to that, you know, come to me, come to Danhausen, you big tall idiot. I was just laughing. It was just brilliant. And I'm obviously laughing now. The ending to it as well, you know, once again, from Draper's perspective, you know, handspring back elbow from a 6'5" guy is like, there isn't anything that he doesn't have. He's fantastic. I know I've made this a lot about Danhausen, but Draper really brought it. He's winning because he's got the TV talk shop coming up. I understand that. But if, you know, Danhausen needs to start winning matches, because he's got everything needed to be a really unique star in Ring of Honor. So yeah, hopefully he keeps coming back. But next time around, much like Andrew Everett, he's got to win, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I just thought it was great, and I think the dynamic of Draper and Danhausen was, you know, really, really funny as well. And I loved his little dance on the apron when Draper was on the outside. I thought that was so funny. And he just has that really, his look is just really, his face paint and stuff, he just has a really, he just makes you smile, because he's just funny. He's just really,
I thought the first time I saw him, he was going to be like a mime guy.
Yeah.
They kind of painted to an extent. And then when he's got teeth and now how much fan support he's getting, he's brilliant. I said it on the main show as a prediction in 2020. Into 2021, that he's going to be a huge star.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like your maybe sometimes favorite wrestler that isn't Jonathan Gresham Bandido. I've got him pegged as an ROH World Television or even ROH World Champion come 2021.
Yeah, I mean,
that much I'm sold on both guys.
They're both great, and you know, I'd love to see Danhausen, you know, tear it up with some more of the roster, and you know, go even further with his gimmick and his bizarre sort of antics. I think it's really sort of the sky's the limit for him in that regard. So yeah, I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, and as a nice segue to the second of the three ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, the new six-man Tag Team Champions. Steven's favourite wrestler that isn't Jonathan Gresham Bandido against the debuting Alex Zane. So for this match, the only thing, and it's not the critic in me, it's just what I noticed and stuff. Really big shame that he missed. He's like plancher, like dive over the top rope.
Yeah.
First of all, but in terms of his confidence, it didn't crush his confidence, which is great. And the huge news to come out of this match, because I never saw it come, is Alex Zane defeated Bandido with the ripcord pump handle driver. Never saw Alex Zane winning this match, but obviously the high on him behind the scenes. Really good match. Probably match of the night, even with that like short little mistake and stuff. But I thought Zane rebounded fantastically. And it was a shocking loss for Bandido because of obviously how he's positioned in the company, new contract, new six-man tag team champion, or one-third of the six-man tag team champions. But much like the reception to the title change the night before, this went down a storm. Everyone was quite happy with this, even though they thought it was shocking that Bandido would lose. So he's your favourite wrestler isn't Jonathan Gresham. So what would you say to this match? Was you happy that Bandido lost? And if you were, you probably need to hand in your fan card.
I was just shocked. I did not expect Bandido to lose this match in a month of Sundays. And, you know, I'm just pleased that Alex Zane has been able to be seen by a larger audience because, you know, I mean, there was the issue with the, you know, the dive and things, but, you know, the main thing is that he was safe and he was, you know, he hadn't injured himself because, you know, it would have been a travesty given.
Very lucky on that.
Very lucky. That's the thing for me, you know. Because
even Bandido didn't really catch him. He got caught up in the rocks, yeah.
Yeah. So just thank goodness he didn't, you know, end up terribly injured from what he, you know, could have been a really bad injury, you know, sort of miscommunication or however you want to put it. But I thought it was great. You know, I thought the chemistry between the two of them was awesome. I thought the innovation was brilliant. I thought the crowd got really, really into it, which really helped the match. And I thought I will say as well, I thought that the actual ending to the match, the pump handle driver, the ripcord pump handle driver, I thought that was a really strong end to the match, and the fact that Bandido did take the loss, I think shows a lot about him. And you know, obviously putting over Alex Zane in his first match, his debut, shows a lot about him as an individual as well. So I thought it was a really, really strong match from the show. It was great.
Very good. Next up, Shane Taylor's promotion. Shane Taylor arrives, announced that ROH didn't meet his demands, basically because it's a Sunday and I guess Joe Koff doesn't work on a Sunday. He won't wrestle until ROH meets the demands, and he hopes his appearance for VIP wrestling, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it's against Nick Gage, and the commentators were basically, we can't say Nick Gage's name on, you know, commentary or on the show. Well, yeah, you can. He said it. You've just said it. And we just said it. So. So if anyone can see that VIP match against Nick Cage, there's his name again. I hope you enjoy it. Next up was the lifeblood Overkill Mark Haskins. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, and it really should be Vicky Haskins, shouldn't it? They missed the trick by not having her at ringside against Vincent Bateman. And this match was something that I wasn't sure how it would go, but you know, if we talk about matches that kind of over deliver, I thought this match over delivered for what we was expecting, which was like a good solid match. But I thought, especially in the beginning and the middle, that this was a really good tag team match. And the only thing was a sharp shoot by Haskins, but Chuckles attacks and causes the DQ. And once again, DQ, count out last night, DQ on this night. That's usually kind of hated in Ring of Honor, but I think in both instances, with regards to Gresham and Woods last night with the count out and the DQ with Chuckles taking out Haskins, I think it made sense because I think it works. It made sense, and I'm not too despondent with the outcome, really. What about yourself? What do you make of this match?
I thought it was really well done. I mean, compared with the earlier, what I was expecting of the stable and things, I think that they really, really came leaps and bounds in this match. I think Vincent is actually he's one of those guys where I didn't think he was able to carry something like the Ring of Horror strongly, but he's really got into it. And, you know, I like the fact that they were all involved in this match and were able to take on, you know, a really strong team from the night before in Lifeblood, Tracy Williams and Haskins. And the other thing, what I did like you, is that it ended in a DQ, because a lot of the times it can be a negative thing and a lot of people can be annoyed with it, but I feel that it really wasn't much of an issue, which I think was a really good thing overall. And, you know, it's another thing where I'm really interested now and really into this match. Has helped me get even more into the Ring of Horror, and especially, you know, Tyler Bateman. I think that he had a really strong, you know, performance. I'm really high on him anyway, but I think this was a really strong performance for him. And Chuckles and Vita Von Starr, I think they really added to it as well. So it was, it was really, really good. Like, really, really interesting, and really showed a lot of what can come in the future for them.
So the next match is Hawaiian Juggernaut Jeff Cobb, Dan and the ROH World Tag Team Champions Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham, which is Steven's favourite wrestler, is in Bandido. every time, I promise you, every time. versus the Bouncers of the Beer City Bruiser, my favourite wrestler, Brawler Milanos, and Two Guys, One Tag, Last Real Man, Silas Young, and Josh the Good Woods. And for this match, if you wanted to know what Ring of Honor was about, this is kind of the MO, really.
Yeah.
Strange bedfellows on both teams, whether they would, when was it going to explode in their faces. Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham basically tagging on their own was really smartly done. Huge fan of that. I thought it was brilliant work by both guys. Didn't really see too much kind of miscommunication in the other team, even though we kind of expected it. It was more about Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham just cutting the ring off for Josh Woods in this situation, wasn't it? Josh Woods was kind of taken to town.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd say in this situation was he had a knee injury the night before. Didn't feel like he had a knee injury on this night until late in the match. Obviously, because of the work that Jonathan Gresham did the night before, I didn't feel like he had a knee injury until later on in the match. And the big news is, Cobb finishes Bruiser, Beer City Bruiser, off of the Tour of the Islands, which is big because the guy, the Bruiser's big, and gets a big win. And once again, the aftermath is Dan Maff picking up the ROH World, one of the ROH World Tag Team titles, and kind of refusing to give it back until Todd Sinclair gets involved. And we'll see Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff against Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham for an opportunity at the ROH World Tag Team titles if they win, or it goes to a draw on the Free Enterprise show on the 9th of February. So, yeah, that was a mouthful. What did you make of this match?
I thought it was, again, a really fun tag team encounter. I think that all four teams look great. How the heck Jeff Cobb hit Beer City Bruiser with the Tour of the Islands is beyond me, because that is some crazy strength Jeff Cobb's got. It's unbelievable what Jeff Cobb's able to do. It's unreal. And like you, I love the fact that Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham are these really snidey heels in that they're only going to tag each other and they're not going to let anyone else get a look in. I thought that was really cleverly done. And yeah. I just liked the fact that you got four different teams with four different styles and they all just meshed together. And, you know, everyone looks like a viable contender as well. I like the fact that it was, I think one, and I don't know whether you'll agree or not, but I like the fact that the champions were on a team with the challengers, but also there was three other sets of challengers who were in the match, sorry, two other sets of challengers in the match as well. So it kind of like was a time when they could have looked vulnerable and, you know, they did at times, but also they looked strong, and but they got the win. Yeah. Bizarrely, they got the win for their they won the match, but it wasn't them who won it for their team. So I like that dynamic. I think that was really cleverly booked. So whether Marty had a look in an idea about that as well, I don't know, considering what we've heard last weekend. But everyone looked strong. Everyone looked great. Dan Math still continues to impress, like he's not lost a beat since 15 years ago. It was great. Another match you need to see.
Yeah, and next up, Rick Titus did a video package saying that his issues with Kenny King are not over. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that next, considering Kenny King has just joined La Fashion. Next up, Bully Ray's back again. Stephen kind of wants to apologise to Bobby Cruz. It's a trap. He kind of pushes Bobby Cruz down, calls him a schmuck. Maria Manic comes back. And, yeah, she spears Bully Ray, ground and pound, the law. She beats them down, hits Bully Ray with a chair several times. Gets the table, props it up, low blows him and runs him through the table. So, that was something. The only thing I was thinking here was North Carolina's own Caprice Coleman is on commentary. Why didn't he step up to Bully Ray?
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that, actually.
That's what I was thinking. So, yeah, he's from North Carolina. Why didn't he step up before Maria Manic did? Happy that Maria Manic got a semblance of revenge on this show, as opposed to if it was like a one show, then Bully Ray takes her out and we have to wait a month to see some revenge. It's good that there was a double shot, that she was able to get some revenge on this. And, yeah, much like I said the night before, the person, male or female, who takes Bully Ray out for good or for a long time is going to be over huge in ROH. So if that's the end game, then that will work. But it's getting to that end game. That's the frustrating part, which I'm sure you will, you'll be saying yourself, you'll add to.
You don't need
to talk about this. I know you fought a minute and 54 left with a semi-main event and a main event to go. I know you fought on Bully Ray. You don't have to keep repeating yourself.
Listen to the previous review.
listen to the previous show. Next up is the last of the three new ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, Mexi Squad's Flamita against the Mercenary, Villain Enterprises' Flip Gordon. And this match was fast-paced. It was, Flip almost flipping to the to match Flamita, but then he kind of catches him in STF and he finishes off the match, which is a huge win for Flip Gordon and a big loss for Flamita, really. Good match. Possibly could have been the opening match again. Nothing about either, Guy just maybe could have changed the card around a little bit. What did you make of this match? And then obviously the post-match with Flip ripping off Lamita's mask, but he managed to get it back.
I thought it was another really fun match on the show. And I think Flip Gordon is brilliant in his heel role of being, as we've said before, not actually giving in to his instincts and flying, but instead using his ground and pound and his submissions, showing a lot more of his variety of his movesets than just doing all the flips and things. But yeah, really fast-paced, really great chemistry between the two. And it was great as well, I think, that, you know, Flip Gordon was able to get an avenged the loss the night before for the six-man titles against Flamita, and it was a really clever little bit of, you know, storytelling, which could lead to something else, you know, going down the line. So I thought it was so I thought it was really, really good. It was really fun.
Very good. And the main event was La Fashion, El Toro Blanco Rouge, the ROH World Television Champion Dragon Lee and Kenny King with Amy Rose versus the Villain Enterprises PCO, Brody King and Marty Scurll. For this match, I don't think they should have had the match. I think it should have been a brawl.
Yeah.
More so than anything else, because especially with what happened the night before with PCO going through the table, why didn't they want to get eight? Why didn't the Villain Enterprise want to get La Fashion straight away? They kind of waited for it to be a match. So that kind of, I was kind of wondering what was going on there. When it, you know, when it was a brawl, which it turned into about 5 minutes into the match, it got really good. I was really behind it. I thought it was really good. And then it probably should have just been a brawl around Concord, North Carolina, especially in the arena. I think that's how they should have worked this match.
Yeah.
But we said about the Fashion needing to look strong, and they looked strong the night before by standing on ROH World Champion PCO. And they looked strong in the end of this match, which was Marty being double-stomped, power-bombed by Roosh, Kenny King, and Dragon Lee doing the double-stomp. And once again, as I mentioned on the previous night, selfless Mighty Scurll, he took the pinfall.
He did.
To, you know, ignite this, you know, faction warfare kind of thing. So, yeah, if this is how the new booker of ROH is going to be, they can't hold anything against him so far because he's taking more pinfalls than Shawn Michaels did in the 90s. So, you know, he's doing really well. And, yeah, the only thing I have on this is this should have been an all-around, or it should have been, yeah, all-around the arena brawl. I think that would have worked, especially with the fan support not being quite there where it was in Atlanta, Georgia, the night before.
Stephen? Yeah, I completely agree with it. I think it should have been a much more of a sort of hardcore audience or fan participation brawl around the arena, given what happened the night before. I think it would have added to the, especially with what had been building up a few weeks before, I think it would have been a great sort of blow off to that first part of, which I expect will be this long feud. You know, I think it really would have added to it. And I think, I like you said, I think it's really promising that Marty Scurll took two pinfalls this weekend and has put over two different you know, two different sets of teams. And I think the actual
pinfall loss against Mexi Blood, at the final battle as well, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He pinned three out of the last four shows because he got the pinfall victory on Dan Maff at the final battle fallout.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it was really, really, I think it was a really, really good match. It was much better than the main event the night before.
Yeah.
And I think the La Faction, they're a, I mean, Roosh and Dragon Lee are great. I mean, I do like Kenny King. I'm really
great in terms of how much he's hated.
Yeah.
The hatred he got when he eliminated Liger and Muta from the Honor Rumble at G1 Supercard. The guy was hated.
Exactly. So, and that's what I was just about to say.
I don't know how the Rick Titus Kenny King feud continues alongside this, but that'll be interesting.
It's interesting. They're an interesting stable, and you know, Villain Enterprises are just amazing. I think Villain Enterprises are great. So
yeah.
Again, this is one of those matches which I'd say, you know, when another, both 6-man tags from this weekend were brilliant, and both need to be seen because they were both, you know, on point and fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And our match of the weekend is Mexi Squad against Villain Enterprises from Saturday night at Center Stage, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
One thing I'm thinking going forward is Flip Gordon going to turn on Villain Enterprises? And I definitely thought that when he didn't come down to the ring until Nick Aldis was involved in the aftermath of the PCO match.
It's a possibility. I mean, you know, the thing is that Flip Gordon, you know, he could finally strike out on his own rather than being part of a...
Especially when his character's heel and the rest of the Enterprises are a face.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it makes sense for him to, you know, go out on his own and to make his own mark and feud with them, you know, mm-hmm. So... It's a really interesting storyline development, I think. And a little subtle thing which will lead in something a lot more prevalent later on. That's how the way I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We see him turning and joining La Faction, maybe?
I actually just see him going out on doing a bit of a sort of a Brian Johnson and just going out on his own and showing his that he's able to do stuff on his own two feet without the need of any other wrestlers to, you know, rely on him or to help him. So I think he may go out on his own, actually.
Okay.
I'd like him to. I mean, I think he's got enough talent and enough ability to do that now. Are you in agreement, or do you think he might join another faction?
Well, I'm just thinking out loud, to be honest, and get ready to wrap this up. Yeah, so that kind of brings an end to our reviews of Saturday Night Center Stage and Honor Reigns Supreme. And for all those people that are desperately wondering how Oliver versus Stephen Ball went.
And then Honor Reigns Supreme, Oliver won 3-2. So it was me who only picked two matches correctly on that night. So really still, so it's 2-2 each. So it's really tight still at the moment. And you know, it'll be exciting to see how, with the next set of shows, the predictions pan out with our the results what come through. So, absolutely. All to play for.
Yeah, I'm a 3-time professional wrestling author. My name is Oliver Newman, and I've done 2 books involving Ring of Honor. The first book involves the Unified and the Liverpool double shot in 2007. And that's a fan's perspective, one man's exploration of British wrestling. And my second book is based on the Orlando double shot in 2008. And that is a fan's perspective, how my lifelong dream became a nightmare. And those books are available on Amazon and paper on Kindle, Kindle instantaneously and for free on Kindle Unlimited. And if you would like a signed copy, get in contact with me on my Big Cartel, afansperspective.bigcartel.com. And yeah, thank you very much. And keep on supporting me and the show. Thank you.
Yeah. If you want to catch some of my work, my written work, I'm a member of the Wrestling Estate. So if you are on Twitter, search for the handle at the Wrestling EST, where you can find my written work about Ring of Honor and my colleagues' work about various other parts of the industry. And we cover a weekly roundtable each week where we each answer a set of questions about a different topic. And feel free to follow us.
We at Broken But Glorious have a partnership with Powerslam.tv. They show 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 promotions and 40 plus promotions, sorry. And you can access this for a month on us with the code BROKENFREE. And in terms of Twitter handles and stuff, I was going to leave it till after that part. But Twitter handles for myself, it's at Brumial, Instagram at Brumial, Facebook, A Fan's Perspective UK. Stephen, what are yours?
At Steej215.
And back to us, BBG Wrestling main hub on Twitter is at BBG Wrestling. The main podcast is at BBGWPod, and we have a website, bbgwrestling.com.
So thanks for listening. See you later.
Bye for now.
Bye.